Take your Bibles, please, and turn to 2 Chronicles, chapter 12. 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings, 1 and 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles, chapter 12. And we're going to start in verse number 10. And we'll read this responsively all the way to the end of the chapter. So if you'd join me on the odd-numbered verses, 2 Chronicles chapter 12, we'll begin in verse number 10. Instead of which, King Rehoboam made shields of brass and committed them to the hands of the chief of the guard that kept the entrance of the king's house. And when the king entered in the house of the Lord, the guard came and fetched them and brought them again into the guard chamber. And when he humbled himself, the wrath of the Lord turned from him, that he would not destroy him altogether. And also in Judah things went well. So King Rehoboam strengthened himself in Jerusalem and reigned. For Rehoboam was 140 years old when he began to reign. And he reigned 17 years in Jerusalem, the city which the Lord had chosen out of all the tribes of Israel to put his name there. And his mother's name was Naamah an Ammonitess. And he did evil, because he prepared not his heart to seek the Lord. Now the acts of Rehoboam, first and last, are they not written in the book of Shemaiah the prophet, and of Iddo the seer concerning genealogies? And there were wars between Rehoboam and Jeroboam continually. Let's read verse 16 also. And Rehoboam slept with his fathers, and was buried in the city of David, and Abijah his son reigned in his stead. And let's pray. Father, thank you so much that it's Sunday. It's the day we get together and go to church. You commanded us to go to church, but what a privilege it is and what a thrill it is to be able to do that. I thank you for our church that you've allowed us to be part of. Thank you for dying for us. Thank you for giving us a preacher that loves you and loves us. Now we ask the next few minutes as he comes and speaks to us that you would cause our hearts and our minds to be stilled. May we forget other things. May we focus our attention upon your word and the preaching of your word. Please use our man of God to speak to our hearts and help us to be more like you. We surely love you, Lord. Amen. And you can be seated.
I'll read to you again a couple of verses. In 2 Chronicles 12, verse 13 and 14, it says, "So King Rehoboam strengthened himself in Jerusalem and reigned, for Rehoboam was 140 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 17 years in Jerusalem, the city which the Lord had chosen out of all the tribes of Israel to put his name there. And his mother's name was Naamah Ammonitess, and he did evil, because he prepared not his heart to seek the Lord." This passage of Scripture tells us about a man by the name of Rehoboam. He was a king. He was king of Jerusalem, it tells us, for 17 years. He was 41 years of age when he began to reign. His mother's name was Naamah. His mother was an Ammonitess. Now, you have to understand, the Ammonites were not friends of God, nor were they friends of the people of God, the Israelites. Rehoboam has a negative influence on him. He has a mother that is of a heathen country and of a heathen God. But I have to tell you this. Even if you have a mother that is a heathen of a heathen country and a heathen God, when you get old enough, you can choose God for yourself. And though he had a negative influence on him, He will be responsible to God for what he did as an adult. He made decisions that didn't turn out so well. The Bible says that Rehoboam made some wrong decisions. It says in 2 Chronicles chapter 12, verse number 1, "And it came to pass when Rehoboam had established the kingdom and had strengthened himself, he forsook the law of the Lord and all Israel with him." In other words, he forsook the law of the Lord and somebody followed him. And I'll remind all of you, you never leave the Lord alone. When you leave the Lord, you take somebody with you. Those of you that have taken two steps away from the will of God, somebody's taken a couple steps away and they followed you. Those of you that took 10 steps away, somebody's probably 9 steps behind you and they followed you. Nobody ever leaves the will of God alone. Nobody. Every dad here that leaves the will of God, you'll take somebody with you. Every mom here that leaves the will of God, you'll take somebody with you. Every teenager here that leaves the will of God, you'll take somebody with you. Every Christian in this church, when you start walking away from God's will and the things of God, somebody is following you. The Bible says that he forsook the law of the Lord and all Israel with him. It says that Rehoboam then did evil. In verse 14, it says, and he did evil because he prepared not his heart to seek the Lord. Oh, we're going to talk about evil for a moment here, but may I remind you, Judas was evil. Jezebel was evil. Pharaoh was evil. Satan, Lucifer, is evil. And I'll remind all of us, and maybe some of you for the first time, you'll hear this, but there's a difference in sin and evil. Sin is a wrong that a person commits that hurts themselves primarily. But evil is a wrong that's committed and it damages others, and sometimes it is an attack on others. For instance, I think the Bible teaches you ought to take care of your body and you should not sin against your body. I think smoking a cigarette is a sin that a Christian could commit against their body. But it's a sin that you commit primarily against yourself. But wait a minute. Gossip is evil because it hurts other people. Evil is the worst kind of sin. See, there are some of you, never in a million years would you smoke a cigarette, but you'll get on your computer and you'll tweet, you'll blog, you'll go on Facebook and criticize somebody. And that, to me, is more wicked than smoking a cigarette. Because when you smoke a cigarette, you hurt you. But when you use your telephone or misuse your computer and you hurt other people, you have gone from the level of sin to a level of evil. And God does not want you and I to be evil. He doesn't want us to sin. But if we had to choose, you're better off hurting you than hurting other people. The Bible tells us that this man by the name of Rehoboam did evil. He did evil. It was not just sin. It was evil, which meant that he, when all of Israel followed him out of the will of God, that's evil. But not only that, I think they not only followed him, but he influenced them to follow him to do wrong. And that's evil. But listen, that's not the sermon today. Then the Bible tells us why he committed evil. It said in verse 14, it said, he did evil because he prepared not his heart to seek the Lord. The word because there, it said, because he prepared not his heart to seek the Lord. Now listen, I don't want to be evil and you shouldn't want to be evil. And here the Bible tells us why this man was evil. It says, and he did evil because he prepared not his heart to seek the Lord. The word because there means his evil took place as a result of something. And you know something, I want to know what this evil is a result of. God tells us, now, this man did evil and it is a result of something. I don't know about you, but I'd like to figure out what it is a result of so that I might protect myself so I too don't do evil. It says, and he did evil because... because what? He prepared not his heart to seek the Lord. Rehoboam practiced evil, the sin of hurting other people, because he did not prepare his heart. Now listen, folks, you need for your heart, and said there, because he prepared not his heart. I recommend to you, you need a predetermined plan for your heart. It says prepare. That prefix, pre, means before. Everybody here needs a predetermined plan for your emotions. Most of you, your emotions happen to you. There's nothing predetermined about it. That's why you say some of the things you say, do some of the things you do, and then turn around and regret them later. The Bible says here he became evil because he did not prepare his heart. You say, you think we can prepare our hearts? Yes, you can. You can say, when something comes at me, I will be prepared and I will respond to it properly. You see, you need a predetermined plan for your heart. You tell it what to do. It does not tell you what to do. The Bible says here he became evil as a result of an unprepared heart. The Bible has many verses about the heart. And when we talk about the heart, and those of you that come to this church all the time, you know, we're not talking about the blood pumping organ. We're talking about the heart, meaning the seat of your emotions, your emotional main computer. Did you know somebody programs a computer? You know, you can program your emotions to a degree. Now, none of us will do it perfectly, but you can program your emotions. You can say to your emotions, this is what we're going to do. Some of you need to learn that. You can say, this is what we're going to do. You know, you could be Holy Spirit controlled. Do you know that you don't have to be out of control? Boy, I'll tell you what, when we get out of control, that's when we start hurting our marriages and hurting our kids and hurting other people in the church and hurting the cause of Christ. This world wrongly sees man's heart. So you all know, the world's opinion of the heart is, oh, just follow your heart. Do what your heart tells you. Follow your heart down the pathway of life. Well, deedly-dee, deedly-dah. But God's ways are not man's ways. And God feels totally different about it. The world says your heart is good. The world says your heart is moral. The world says your heart is kind. The world says follow your heart. The world says your heart is pure and clean and good all the time. Wrong. Don't follow your heart. Jeremiah 17:9 says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. You say, who wrote that? Oh, just God. The one who's always right, let God be true and every man a liar. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Well, the world sure doesn't know it. Deceitful. Yeah, you ever thought about that verse? I've quoted it, I've used it, I've preached from it, but the Lord said to me, he said, take a good look at that again. I looked at it, and he said, look at it again, stupid. I looked at it again, and it says, deceitful above all things. The most deceitful thing is what it's saying. Could all things be that your heart is more deceitful with you than the devil can be deceitful with you? See, the devil can't make you go anywhere that your heart doesn't agree to. The Bible says it says desperately wicked. Now, I'm scared to death of just plain old wicked. I don't want to be wicked. I don't want to be average wicked. I don't want to be partially wicked. But God knows, I don't want to be desperately wicked. How would I end up being desperately wicked? By following my heart, because my heart is deceitful above all things. In 1 Samuel 16:7, it says, but the Lord saith unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him, for the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For man looketh upon the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh upon the heart. Now, a lot of people say, well, that verse right there tells you God don't care what you look like. You're full of baloney. That's not what that verse is talking about. You're so shallow, it's pathetic. What God is saying to you is the facial expressions that you put on the outside of you are a bit irrelevant. What we really want to know is what's going on inside of you. Psalm 66:18 says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Matthew chapter 12, verse number 34, the Bible says, O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Acts 8:22 says, and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven. David's prayer for Israel in 1 Chronicles 29:8, it says, O Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, our fathers, keep this forever in thy imagination of the thoughts of the heart of thy people, and prepare their heart unto thee. David's request for his son, and this ought to be all of our desires for our children. David said of Solomon in 1 Chronicles 29:19, it says, and give unto Solomon my son a perfect heart. If the heart's right, we'll be okay. But you got to keep your heart right. Rehoboam's evil came, though, from an unprepared heart. You know, there are other verses that mention this, the importance of the preparation of the heart. Remember the word pre. And the heart is the seat of our emotions. What's it mean? Program your heart to respond right. The preparation of the heart. Proverbs 16:1 says, the preparations of the heart in man and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. Psalm 10 verse 17 said, Lord, thou hast heard the desire of the humble. Thou wilt prepare their heart. 2 Chronicles chapter 19 verse number 3, it says, nevertheless, there are good things found in thee, in that thou hast taken away the groves out of the land and hast prepared thine heart to seek God. There the Bible said somebody had done good, but the reason they had done good is because of the preparation of the heart. You are more apt to do good because you plan to do good than that you happen to stumble into it. Prepare to do good. Prepare to do right. Prepare your heart. Prepare your emotions. You don't have to be out of control all the time, especially if you're a Christian. What is an unprepared heart? It's a heart that's not made ready, and it'll be caught off guard. You know something? I really believe I've done this in my life. I'm trying to. I want to do this, but I'll tell you this. I have prepared my heart with a plan not to become evil. I don't want to be evil. Now, I stumble into sin and I'm working and I don't want to do that. But I'll tell you one thing. I really don't want to be evil. I don't want to pull others down. I don't want to pull others away. I don't want to be the kind of person that goes around attacking people all the time. And I think if you know me, you know I'm not like that. But I have to prepare myself, because the opportunity to be evil comes on all of us. The opportunity pops up frequently. And I predetermined, I do not want to become the kind of person that goes around attacking people, pulling people down, and pulling people into wrong. Have you prepared your heart so that you don't become evil? That's exactly what the Bible says. Rehoboam did not prepare his heart, so the result was evil. We see another person that did prepare their heart to do good, and they accomplished good. Rehoboam did evil because he did not prepare his heart. Stay with me, if you will. Let me say, first of all, a prepared heart is a pure heart. And a pure heart will not become evil. James 4:8 says, draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Does your heart need a spring cleaning? We need to take your heart down to the car wash and blow it off real good. Did you know your heart needs a good cleaning? And we need a daily cleaning. The Bible says in Psalm 139, verse 23 and 24, search me, O God, know my heart, try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Notice the concern was not the wicked way on the outside of you. Look, if you're wicked on the outside of you, it's obvious to us and everybody else. But what he's really concerned with is what's going on inside of you. The real you is not what's on the outside of you. The real you is what's on the inside of you. And if you don't get the inside of you right, you better watch out what's going to happen to the outside of you. He said, see if there be any wicked way in me. In me. He said, search me. You know what God needs to do? The other day, I was with my son Jeff, my daughter Savannah, and our grandson Trey. Trey had an accident that would need attention, and Jeff handed Trey to his wife and said, "Attend to this, if you would, please." Valiant, tough men that won't even change a diaper. You know something? Does God need to change you? Are you dirty? You have a pure heart? The Bible says here, someone's welcoming God to search them. See if there be any wicked way in me. Not a long time ago, Mrs. Owens and I went to Camp David. And we were taking a tour of Camp David, and we got to go and see where the president would stay. And we ate at Camp David. We were invited, and we were guests there. It was a fantastic trip. I remember it. They checked on us in advance. They checked our social security numbers, and they had checked photo IDs and birth certificates and all of that. Of course, Camp David is extremely secure. And they almost didn't let Mrs. Owens in. I think she deals drugs on the side or something. I wasn't sure what it was. But fortunately, she was with me, so they let her in. And but I remember when I got there, they frisked me. They frisked me. They patted me down. You know something? Some of you ought to invite God to pat you down. Frisk you. You see, a prepared heart is a pure heart. If you want to keep things under wraps and under control so you don't get out of the will of God, you better make sure you're doing something in your heart to keep yourself that way. And a prepared heart is a pure heart, and a pure heart won't become an evil heart. Heart cleansing is a preparation of the heart. Now, and I might say this, and I'll say it again later. One of the greatest, or the greatest preparation of the heart is salvation. If you're here today, and if you died, and you're not 100% sure you go to heaven, you've got to get born again. You've got to get a pure heart. You say, how in the world am I going to get a pure heart? It's through a blood transfusion. And I don't want to confuse you, but when you get saved, you inherit or take on the purity of Jesus Christ. We don't get into heaven because we're pure. We get into heaven because He's pure and we've received Him as our Savior. But if you want purity and you want to get into heaven, that will come by way of the gift that Jesus Christ gives in salvation. That's the greatest way to get a purity about yourself. It's salvation purity. But let me say to every Christian here, you are to be pure in heart. Purity in heart is a preparation of the heart. And if you say, Brother Owens, I never want to become evil. I never want to hurt my husband, hurt my wife, hurt my church, hurt Christians. I never want to be a hurter of people. Then prepare your heart by making sure your heart is pure. You're not to be just pure on the outside. You're to be pure on the inside. Secondly, a prepared heart is a sanctified heart. A sanctified heart. And so you understand, a sanctified heart will not be an evil heart. Sanctification is something that can it's a process that can take place in the heart that will keep you from evil. The Bible says in 1 Peter 3:15, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. Here the Bible talks about a sanctified heart. What is that? A sanctified heart is a heart that has been prepared. And when it faces the opportunity for evil, the potential of evil is lessened because a pure heart has become a sanctified heart. And it keeps me doing right when the opportunity for evil comes my way. To sanctify means, very simply, to set apart. Now, don't let big words like that scare you. Say, sanctification. Mm-hmm. All it means is to be set apart. Your heart should be set apart or designated for God's use. See, that's one reason why you're supposed to, it's a good reason for your heart to be pure. Did you know that you are to be clean for a reason? God cleans you up to use you. Some of you thought God cleans you up just because He wanted you cleaned up. Now, God wants you clean, but God cleans you to use you. You say, I'm about the cleanest person in the whole church. You ever do anything for God? God didn't clean you so He could stare at you. God cleans you to use you. You're to be sanctified in heart. Your heart's to be clean. And then your heart is to be set aside for service for God. I am sanctified unto my wife, Sherry. I am set apart for her. She is set apart for me. I am only for her and she is only for me. That's where that's sanctification, set apart. See that piano right there? It's a gorgeous piano. Thank God for it. That piano is sanctified. You say, oh, that sounds spooky, religious stuff. Well, what it means is that thing is set aside, set apart for service. You'll never come into this auditorium and find anybody playing honky-tonk on that piano. Why? That piano is set aside for gospel music. You'll never come in here and hear someone playing rock and roll on that piano. You say, why? That's a sanctified piano. Don't let the word sanctified bother you. It's set apart. It's set apart for a purpose. You're not going to find somebody playing country music on that piano. You're not going to find somebody playing rap on that piano. You're not going to find somebody playing contemporary music on that piano. You say, why? It's sanctified. It's set apart. It's got a purpose, and that purpose is the old time religion and old time gospel music. It's set apart. And your heart is to be set apart the same way. There ought not be nothing being played in your heart that is not sanctified unto the Lord. You know, your heart won't be in the world and in God at the same time. The Bible says in 1 John 2:15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. You're going to have to get your heart into the things of God, or you're going to have your heart into the things of the world. Hey, is your heart set apart for God's use? First of all, your heart is to be purified. Then your heart is to be set apart for God's use. Why? We are preparing your heart so it does not become evil. Not just sin, so it doesn't become evil. If you don't want to start hurting people, hurt your wife, hurt your husband, hurt your kids, hurt your church, hurt the cause of Christ, you've got to prepare your heart by cleaning it up, setting your heart aside for service for God. A sanctified heart will keep you from having an evil heart. But you got to prepare it. You got to predetermine that. You must predetermine that's the kind of heart you want. Because if you don't predetermine it, when the opportunity to be evil pops up, you will act upon it emotionally and you'll do wrong. That's why the Bible says prepare your heart. A man, you'll like this, speaking of your heart. A man suffered a very serious heart attack, and consequently he had a quadruple heart bypass surgery. He woke up to find that he was in a care unit of nuns at a Catholic hospital. When he had recovered sufficiently, a nun began to ask him questions about how he was going to pay for his bill, and it was a tremendously high bill. The nun asked, "Do you have health insurance?" The patient replied, "No, no health insurance." The nun asked, "Do you have any money in the bank to pay your bill?" The patient replied, "No, no money in the bank." Somewhat impatient, the nun asked, "Well, do you have a relative that will be able and willing to help settle your account and pay us for your treatment?" The patient replied, "I only have a lonely, old, single sister who's a nun." And the nun became agitated with him and announced loudly, "Nuns are not old, nuns are not lonely, and nuns are not single. They are happily married to God." And the patient spoke up and said, "Then send the bill to my brother-in-law." Your heart. Your heart can become desperately wicked. I never want my heart to become evil. And when I seen this passage of scripture about Rehoboam, and it said he did evil because he did not prepare his heart, I realized that's it. There are some things you must do before the opportunity to be evil comes, so that you're ready when it comes. That's why God calls it the preparations of the heart. There's some of you need to determine what your emotions are going to be in certain situations, and you do it by making sure your heart is pure. You do it by making sure that your heart is sanctified, meant set apart for service. Your heart has no intent of doing anything other than being right with God. Thirdly, I think a prepared heart is one that seeks God's word. And a heart that seeks God's word is not going to be an evil heart. The Bible says in Ezra chapter 7, verse 10, "For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it." If you want a prepared heart, you better seek the law of the Lord and do it. You know, there are some people, they're like education mongers. Educate me, educate me, educate me, educate me. You're not just supposed to learn the Bible, you're to live it. I know people can quote all sorts of things, but they don't live what they quote. What good's that? The Bible is not just a history book for you to study. It's an owner's manual. You're to live it. And here the Bible says, for Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it. And I say to you, a prepared heart is one that seeks the law of the Lord and does what God says. Hey, do you on your own search the scriptures? Let me tell you all something. This is not a Catholic church, and I'm not trying to beat up the Catholics today. I'll do that next week. But this is not a Catholic church. But you better make sure you understand something. I hold here in my hand a Bible. God wrote this. And I'm not the only person that can read it. And I'm not the only person that can understand it. And I don't have a corner on the market. Every one of you have the ability to pick up this book, read this book, understand this book, learn this book, live this book. And you're supposed to. If the only Bible that you're getting is a Bible that you get from church, you're going to starve to death and you're not going to be a good Christian. You're to have daily bread. And we don't have church 7 days a week, but you can open up your old King James Bible. You can study it, read it, memorize it, and live it without me. Amen. Now, some of you do a really good job because I hardly see you at church ever, and you somehow stay alive. God intended for you to be in church every time the church doors open and the pastor deems that there be church. But I am telling you here, you are to read this book. Amen. A prepared heart is one that seeks the law of the Lord. Are you pursuing anything in God's book right now? I won't say who, but I had a delightful appointment with a 14-year-old boy yesterday. He walked in and said, "Preacher, I want to talk to you about the scripture for a little while." I thought, whoa. He said, "Could we talk about the second coming of Jesus Christ?" Got 4 or 5 questions. Are we allowed to have 14-year-old deacons?
Amen.
Do you have a desire to get into the Word of God? A prepared heart is one that's seeking the law of the Lord.
Amen.
Do you have an appetite for Bible study? You ought to have. The Bible says in 2 Chronicles 19:3, "Nevertheless, there are good things found in thee, and that thou hast taken away the groves out of the land and hast prepared thine heart to seek God." You're to seek God. Do you hunger to get to church so you can hear the preaching? Do you hunger? Listen, if you are falling away from your Bible reading and time with the Lord, you are preparing yourself for an evil heart. If you are not showing up, and I'll just tell you, it doesn't matter why. I watch people that get out of church. And if they get out of church long enough, for whatever reason, they often are the ones that turn into the evil people. Y'all know what I mean by evil? The ones that start attacking their own church? You get out of church long enough, before long, you're so critical, you're so negative, you see everything that's wrong with everybody, and you can tell everybody what's wrong, and you're on Facebook, and you're texting, and you're tweeting, and you're blogging, and you're hogging, and you're telling everybody how smart you are, but you don't even come to church. And you have become evil because you have separated yourself from the Word of God, and being under the preaching of the Word of God, and in your Bible, prepares your heart so when evil is available, you're ready and you stand strong against evil instead of becoming a part of it. I could predict for you who would be a part of the core of our church who will be the next evil people. I hate it that I can see things like that coming. All you have to do is follow the scripture. They fall further and further away. You don't see them at church more and more and more. And before long, they've gone from being just out to enemy. What happened? No preparation. Preparation of purity, preparation of sanctification, preparation of seeking the law of the Lord. And the Bible makes it very clear, we're all to come to church and be preached to. I didn't set that up, so you know. That's not my doing. I'm just following the instruction from headquarters. Number 4, a prepared heart is a protected heart. And a protected heart is not an evil heart. I've got to hurry. The Bible says in Proverbs 4:23, "Keep thy heart with all diligence." See, it says keep your heart. Keep your heart. Now the word keep there equals guard. Keep means protect. Keep means walk guard around. Walk guard around your emotions so they don't get away from you. Keep your heart. A hockey player or a soccer player, you put someone and they're the goalie, but what do we call a goalie? A keeper. Try to keep the enemy from scoring. You're to keep your heart. Protect your heart from pride. Protect your heart from gossip and criticism. Protect your heart from disloyalty and bitterness. Protect your heart. Hey, a protected heart will not become an evil heart. I don't want my heart to be evil. Now, folks, I don't want to sin. I don't want to do anything stupid that hurts me. But it is a passion of my life. I don't want to hurt anybody. I think you probably hear me say that in this pulpit all the time. I don't want to hurt anybody. I'll get up here and throw a fit and preach fire down from the sky. And I often say, now, folks, I'm not saying this to hurt you because I don't want to hurt anybody. And I don't want to hurt anybody. I think before I talk, trying to do my best so I don't hurt anybody. I plan before I make a move because I don't want to hurt anybody. I don't want to be evil. And I want a pure heart and a sanctified heart and a heart that seeks after the law of the Lord. And I do it. And I've got to make sure that I am a keeper of the heart because I don't want to be evil. Folks, Christianity is still all about being good to people, isn't it? Is it not still that we're supposed to love one another and help people and not be hurtful? Sure it is. Protect your heart. I'm going to say this and I'll be finished. A prepared heart is one that has meditated on the non-evil things or one that's meditated on the right things. Psalm 19, verse 14, it says, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer." If you want a prepared heart, you have advanced, prepared, you've got your heart ready. So when evil is an opportunity, you're ready for it. It's got to be pure, set apart, seeking the word of God. It's got to be protected from the kind of things that will cause you to become evil. And then finally, you're going to have to meditate on the right things or make sure you don't meditate on the wrong things. Listen to what it said there in Psalm 19:14. It says, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight." Now, anybody here interested in some upper level Christianity this morning? You want an advanced course? You want a doctorate? Listen to this. The meditation in your heart of that is that which has not yet been seen by man. It's your private emotions. The meditation of your heart. It's your internal emotions. It's your top secret emotions. It's your confidential feelings, ones that nobody knows about. I said, now that's not yet been seen of man, because the Bible says out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. It eventually comes out. Folks, don't let your emotions, listen, don't let your emotions do things in the privacy of internally that they should not be doing. Notice what it said. "Let the word of my mouth and the meditation of my heart." See, we all think we're doing just fine if we're feeling it on the inside, but we don't do it on the outside. God said, "Let the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight." Time for some of you to step up a level. Time for somebody to grow up a little bit. You say, "Well, I'm not going to do what I wanted to do to him, but I was thinking it." It's time for you to stop thinking it. The meditation of my heart. Don't let your emotions do in private things that they are not supposed to do. You say, "But I kept it inside me." For a man to look on a woman to lust after her, he hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. Now, you say, "Well, I looked at her and lusted her. I might as well go sleep with her." You're a knucklehead. That's not what God is saying. God's trying to make you realize it's bad to think it. He's not trying to give you a free pass to go do something stupid. Upper level Christianity not only wants the emotion not to come out, upper level Christianity wants the emotion not even to be in. That wrong emotion. You say, "Well, I want to do it to them. I'll just feel it, but I won't do it." God said that's wrong. Let the meditation of your heart be acceptable. If you don't want an evil heart, keep your heart prepared. How do you say, "How do I prepare my heart?" Make it a clean heart. Make it a heart that's set aside for God. Seek His word and obey it. Protect your heart from evil influences. And then, what nobody sees, the innermost depth of what you are. Don't you entertain anything wrong. the reason why a lot of you mess up. You get the first 4 points. Now when we get to the innermost part of you, the meditation of your heart is not pure. And therefore you end up being evil. Way down inside, the very depth of the privacy of your heart, let it be acceptable in His sight. And you will not become evil. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I said this earlier, I'll say it again. You need a clean heart. If you've never been born again, you need to get saved. Now, you don't get saved by getting baptized. You don't get saved by giving money to the church. You don't get saved by joining the church. You don't get saved by turning over a new leaf. You get saved by realizing that you're a sinner. There's a penalty for sin. It is death in hell, separated from God for all eternity. Realizing that Jesus Christ paid that penalty with His death, with His burial, and with His resurrection. And the way you get saved is you turn to Him and say, I know I'm a sinner. I know I deserve to go to hell, but I'm asking you for salvation. And He gives you the free gift of salvation because you ask for it. You receive it as a free gift. That'll get you to heaven. And then you'll take on the righteousness of Christ. That's what will get you into heaven. The purity of Jesus Christ, not your own purity. Is there anybody under the sound of my voice that would say, preacher, I don't want to die and go to hell. I'd be willing to receive the free gift of salvation. I'd like to have it. I'd like to be saved. I'd like to be born again. If all it is accepting the free gift and admitting that I'm a sinner and asking Him to forgive me for it, I'm willing to do that. And I need to be born again. Pray for me, preacher, that I get that taken care of. Would you raise your hand right now so I can see it? God bless you. I see that hand, and there's another and another and another and another and another. And there's another hand and yet another. God bless you. And another hand and another. God bless you. If you're not saved, you say, pray for me, preacher. I want to be saved. I want to go to heaven someday. I'm willing to trust Christ as Savior. I need to take care of it. If you've not already raised your hand, you say, God's spoken to my heart about it. I need to be born again. Would you raise your hand right now and say, preacher, I should have raised my hand a moment ago. I need to be born again. God bless you. I see that hand. I see two or three more on the lower floor in the balcony. You say, that's me. I need to be saved. I'm not trying to sell you the Baptist way or the Catholic way. I'm trying to sell you on what the Bible says. You need to be born again. I see another hand. Here's what's going to happen with you. God bless you. I see that hand. Here's what's going to happen. In a moment, we're going to have a thing called an altar call. The men that are sitting on this platform and others will post themselves in a moment on the lower floor down the front of each aisle. And when we start this thing called the altar call, we'll all stand. The choir will sing. The piano will play. If you just raise your hand and say, I need to be born again, you leave your seat, you walk toward the front, you walk up to one of the men and say, I want to be saved. We have trained soul winners, and soul winners, you be ready. Don't wait. You come right away and you be ready to win these people to Christ. We're going to take a Bible in a matter of a few minutes. We'll show you how to be born again. Don't you hesitate. You just come. Then I believe there's some people you've already been saved and you need to make it public. You come. I believe there's some of you that you need to do something about the preparation of your heart. If you don't prepare it, evil is going to sneak up on you and you'll become the enemy of God, the enemy of the church, the enemy of your husband, your wife. There are people in here. You're evil right now. You're against your husband. You're against your wife. How did that get in there? You did not prepare your heart. There's some of you need to come and rededicate your heart to the Lord, maybe. If you're here and you've been saved and baptized by immersion after your salvation and you would like to join this church, you're welcome to come. I'm going to ask the instrumentalists to begin to play at this time.